like to begin by reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 only.
Paul is writing and he says,
"Therefore it is said,
awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead,
and Christ shall give you light."
During the first 3.5 years, or you say those 3.5 years that preceded our Lord's death and resurrection, Jesus kept using an expression which his disciples found baffling and sometimes found downright offensive. He would refer to people who were very healthy, very active, and often very prosperous as dead. "I'll follow you, Lord," says a man whom Jesus had called to discipleship, "but first let me go and bury my father." Jesus answers, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." In his parable of the prodigal son, when the prodigal finally comes to his senses and returns, the father has a wonderful feast for him. And of course, the older brother of the prodigal is jealous and angry. The father explains this feast to his other son, the older brother, by saying, "It's only right for us to have this feast. Your brother was dead. Now he's alive." Or when Jesus says, "The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live." He's talking about dead people who look very much alive. They buy cars, they go to ball games, they even go to church. It was really not until after the resurrection that the disciples began to catch on to what Jesus was talking about. Reading from Matthew 28, verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know whom you seek. You seek Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Lo, I have told you.' And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said to them, 'Hail!' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren that I go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" What happened to these women in this first meeting with Jesus alive from the dead can be described in no other way but as a resurrection. This encounter with Jesus actually raised them from the dead. It filled them with a life that was in him. The same thing happened to the disciples when they saw him alive from the dead. And then their eyes were opened and they could begin to understand what Jesus meant. And they could now see that this world is full of walking dead. What it really means to be alive. Now, in the apostolic church, this distinction between the living and the dead among the apparent living was very, very clear. And I quoted that, I started out with that quote that Paul uses in Ephesians 5:14. And really what that was a part of a hymn that was used in the apostolic church. It was their Sunday hymn, resurrection hymn. And the line of it went, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." And the sleeper who needs to arise from the dead is a person who's walking around in a body of flesh and blood. We read also in Ephesians chapter 2, "And you, he made alive, when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these you, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind. And so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're dead when you're alienated from the life of God, cut off from the spring that you were made to drink from this breath you were made to breathe. And when that's the case, when you're cut off from that life, you may be getting all the gusto this world can offer. You may be loaded with money. You may be brilliant, successful, and highly thought of, but you are dead. And when the moment comes for you to leave this realm of flesh and blood, all the things you love and all the things you would cling to will be left behind because they all belong to the realm of death. You are alive when you are moving in the will of God. When you are no longer whimpering through this life, muttering, what's in it for me? Are my needs being met? I mean, that's okay for a baby at its mother's breast to say that. But there comes a time when we need to grow up and we have to do the feeding. See, and you are alive when you are now moving with the Lord, the King, and saying with him, thy will, O God, not my will, thy will be done. I know I come to do your will. This day, I give it to you, my body, my mind, everything. Take it, break it, use it any way you want, so that the poor can hear the good news. And the captives can be set free, and the blind can have their sight, and the oppressed may be delivered. Use me, Lord God. You are alive when the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens you in the same way and makes your daily life a burning bush in the wilderness of this world. Then you're alive. And when the moment comes for you to leave this realm of flesh and blood, you will take your treasure with you. Because your treasure is the Lord. And nothing can separate you from him or from his love. Now the power that brings us from death to life is the voice of the Lamb who was slain and who rose again. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear, who respond, shall live. When he speaks his living word, that word has the power to raise us out of our death, up into the life of God, and hold us there. And that power is in this place today. His word is able to raise us out of whatever death we still may be lingering in. You know, we read the book of Acts and we marvel at the sudden and radical changes in lifestyle that happened to these people. I mean, they thought nothing of just making this quick change, you know, throwing away their money or leaving where they were or changing their jobs or all kinds of radical changes took place in their lives, and we marvel at this. But there's no mystery to this. Because when you're raised from the dead, it's easy to leave the trappings of death that cluttered your life before. For instance, if I'm a millionaire, but I'm dead in my millions, and Jesus raises me from the dead by his living word, and I see God, and I see the kingdom, and I hear the call, and I now know the purpose of my life, and I commit myself to that, it's easy for me to shake off and leave this old life that held me before, all those things that held me down and bound me like a tomb. And I can do exactly what Zacchaeus did. I can say, half my goods I gave to the poor. If I cheated anybody, I give it back fourfold. I was dead, now I'm alive. Salvation has come to my house. Or, if I'm, a church executive, a church administrator in headquarters on Madison Avenue in New York, right next to the advertising firm. And I'm dead in my plush position. Or, if I'm a politician with good connections to Washington, D.C., but I'm dead in my political power. And now, Jesus raises me from the dead by his living word. And I see God, and I see the kingdom, and I hear the call, and I commit myself to that. It's easy for me to say, get lost, to the things that kept me blind and deaf and asleep and dull of heart before, and to follow Jesus into a simple life. Or if I'm the biggest crook in Southwest Detroit, I'm a dealer, or I'm a pimp, or I'm a permanent fixture in the carnival bar. And now Jesus raises me from the dead by his living word, and I see the kingdom, and I see God, and I hear the call, and I commit myself to it. It's easy for me to leave all that. That was nothing but a grave. And to now commit myself to being an apostle of God for the rest of my life to Southwest Detroit, Northern Ireland, South France, wherever he wants to send me. Or, if I'm a respectable member of Messiah Church, and I've lived a decent life, and I'm raising a decent family, but I'm dead in my decency. And Jesus, on Easter Sunday, 1986, by the power of his living word, raises me from the dead, and I see the kingdom, and I see God, I hear the call, and I know the purpose of my life, and I commit myself to it. It's easy for me to pull off all this respectability like so much filthy rags and concentrate on following Jesus and manifesting his kingdom to the world. But many times, people who rise from the dead and have found their sins washed in the blood of the Lamb, and their lives quickened by the Spirit that raised them from the dead, nevertheless begin to slip back into death. The possibility is there for all of us to begin to sink back into death, and we need to be awakened. We need to be stirred. Now, that happened to a whole congregation of believers in the city of Sardis when the Apostle John was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And John got a message for that church, which we find recorded in Revelation chapter 3, and it goes like this. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, you have the name of being alive, and you are dead. Awake and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death, for I have not found your works perfect, that means wholehearted, in the sight of my God. Remember that which you have received and heard. Keep that and repent. If you will not awake, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. He who conquers shall be clad thus in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, meaning your name might possibly be blotted out. I will confess his name before my Father, and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We hear that message in Revelation 3 and often think it's so hard, but it's not hard. It's a resurrection message. It's a kingdom message. It's a message that raises us from life, and it's the message of the Spirit of God to the body of Christ on earth at this hour. Awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life. This Easter is all over the earth, while millions are going through the motions of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. This Jesus, who's on our lips and on our hymns, is addressing us here and everywhere, calling us to wake up and come up out of our tombs and live and let him give us life. The message of the Spirit of the Lord, the body of Christ on earth today, is threefold. One, wake, O sleeper. Two, arise from the dead. And three, and Christ shall give you life. You'll have life. First, wake up, O sleeper. Which simply means take stock of your situation. Have a look at what's really going on in your life. The prodigal woke up when he finally came to his senses. He says to himself, what am I doing here? I'm feeding the pigs, and they're getting enough to eat, and I'm not. Far off, back home, in my father's house, Why, the hired servants have bread enough to spare, and here I perish with hunger. And so now he wakes up and decides he's going home, going back to the father. I will arise and go to my father. I'll say, I'll be a hired servant for the rest of my life, but I don't want to starve to death like I'm doing here. And so the Spirit is saying to the body of Christ, to the individuals and the congregations, look at your situation. Be honest about where you are right now. Are you moving in my will? Is your life conformed to my purpose? How does your life, as you're living it now, compare with the way you were living it when you first became a believer? Do you still have your first love? Are you still walking by your first faith? Be honest. Secondly, he says to us, to all of us, without exception, arise from the dead. In other words, come up out of these things that bind you down. Take that step, make that move, perform that act of repentance, whatever it is. I know your works. You have the name of being alive, and you are dead. Awake and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death, for I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God. This is a message of love addressed to us, calling us to come up out of our Babylonian trance and make that one move, that one step, that one decision that he's putting his finger on in each of our lives today. It may be, for instance, that he's calling some of us to break with a habit that's been draining all the life out of us. It may be a habit of thought. Perhaps it's a habit of speech, a way of always coming back with an answer that is not really helpful or positive or encouraging. Could be a habit of our eyes or our imagination. And he's saying, that thing, that habit that you're engaging in and have adopted as part of your life must change. Rise up out of it now. Oh, arise from the dead. Don't be in there anymore. Come forth. I'll help you. Or it may be an attitude. An attitude you have toward your mother-in-law, or toward your husband, or your wife, or your mother, or your father, person you work with, somebody. An attitude that colors all other relationships. And it's one that has a taste of bitterness. He says, arise from the dead. Get out of that thing today. I'll help you, but come on. Take that step. Get out of that thing. Or it may be an attachment, better known as idolatry. That may be a fantasy, an ambition, a thing that we particularly love. Maybe you're in love with your car. Some people love their cars better than their wives. You know, they don't mind if their wife stumbles, but don't scratch my car. But something that we're attached to, something that we become attached to, and we don't realize how attached we are. Maybe we like to check our bank account every two days to make sure it hasn't gone down too far or has come up a little farther. Or we're all the time checking the stock market or whatever. You know, whatever it happens to be with us, that thing is death. Rise up out of it. Whatever it is that has your heart held, it may be a fear that's been hanging over you like a cloud for the last 15 years. And he says, today's the day to come up out of that death. I'll help you. Take that step, rise from the dead, make that move, and you will begin to see miracles in your life. You'll see them not in Channel 62, but in your actual daily living, you will see it. Because the minute you take that step, Christ will give you life. If we take the step that we need to do, and each of us, there will be some specific thing. Make that move, perform that act of repentance, whatever it is, and immediately you will find that you have more than you lost. You will have light. And that light will open your eyes. It'll inform your mind. It will guide your steps. It will empower you to walk in a new way that you could not walk in before. will fill you with joy. And so, this Easter, this Feast of the Resurrection, the best way we can prove to that world out there that Jesus is alive from the dead is to rise from the dead ourselves. They will see God's glory. They will feel His power. They will tremble with awe when they see us living daily lives distinct and apart from the way of the walking dead and sons and daughters of the resurrection day in and day out. They will see that. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. They will see the power of God moving in us. The message of the Spirit to us today and to the church all over the earth is, awake, O sleeper! Arise from the dead! And Christ will give you life. We're going to continue, as we've been doing for a few weeks now, a period of waiting in silence. Like a Sabbath, we're listening to God. The day will come again when we'll be shouting praises, and we can do that at other points in the service. But right now, we're going to just wait on God in silence before Him. But there is one sound we will welcome today, and that may be the sound of some footsteps, of people who feel a need to come down and kneel at the altar and have somebody pray with them right now. But let's wait upon God and ask Him to just touch our minds and hearts and show us specifically where we need to make that step.